Okay, so we'll talk a little bit now about the platforms. We already looked at the structure and how these things fit together. So we'll talk about what's happening inside the platforms, how things are going in terms of organizing things, structuring things, and perhaps most importantly, how the research is getting underway. So we have a representative from each of the platforms. I'll introduce them briefly as they come up, and they've got a little over about 15 minutes to talk in each case, so we'll carry on that way. I'm going to start with Jack Sadler. Jack's been active in the biofuels area. He's a bioconversion guy. Can I say that, Jack? Yep. And he works a lot in pretreatment, et cetera. He's been working in this area for his entire career and brings a huge amount of expertise to this. So, Jack, if you'd like to talk about the Western platform for a bit.
Thanks, Don. So I want to thank Don and his colleagues for inviting us to La Belle Provence in June and not in February. So I'm glad we're here at this time of year. And I've been working in this area a long time, like Esteban, and you can see how much hair he's got and how much hair I've got, so you can see who's doing a lot better. So anyway, with this introduction, as you all know, we're just getting going. So this is actually going to come over as more of a list of projects and people, and that's because we're just getting going. Hopefully in a year's time, it will show much more of an integration in terms of how things are working. Also, I noticed that everybody is referring to the network now as the BFN, Biofuel Network. When my kids were growing up, one of their favorite books was called The Big Friendly Giant, and all the way through the book, it was called the BFG. Something right. So I keep thinking this is the Big Friendly Network. So hopefully it will evolve that way. So these are my colleagues. I think some of you are at the bioconference for the last couple of days. I think I put this slide up to show that basically biofuels are real, because about 13 years ago there wasn't a wood pellet market, as my colleague Shahab Salkansanj knows. So really we've gone from biomass not being a really traded commodity to the fact that you can go all the way from BC through the Panama Canal to Rotterdam and make money. So again, I think this area is real, and it's really part of what the network's about, is how do we build on this. I guess there was the term, Mark didn't like the term biorefinery, but it's because we're all very refined. That's why we call it the biorefinery. We're very refined scientists. So that's the basis of the name. And again, the idea is, as well as making the fuel, we need to get the other co-products that will add the value the same way with an oil refinery. Again, I'm going to use some pulp and paper examples here because that's partly my bias, but I think this also refers to the agricultural residue. Really what we're trying to do is to go into the components of lignocellulosics, and these are a range, and I know you need binoculars at the back to see this, but basically this is just showing some of the fatty acids and the pharmaceuticals, the fuels. These are the range of fuels and chemicals that we're all hoping to collectively make. So that's the analogy with the oil refinery. What the Western platform is mostly working on is this middle part. We're tending to be more on the biochemical side of things. The other platforms are going to talk more about thermochemical. And also we cover a little bit here, but we've also got representatives from FP Innovations, where we're also looking at some of the polymeric properties. So you're looking at this cellulose nanocrystalline. So I think the whole idea is to make the fuels, the chemicals, and the polymeric material from this biomass. An example I use here, I guess I should be using Tembec, something more local, but this is Borregaard in Norway. I think Borregaard is a very good example of a biorefinery. I mean, they make the speciality pulp that goes into the cellulose acetates and nitrates that go into the very high-value products. They end up with the lignin that goes into cement and other high-value applications, the vanillin that goes into flavoring, the yeast, the bioethanol that the graduate students drink, and really all these other products. So again, this is a good example of a biorefinery. So the Western platform tends to have a general biochemical conversion. What we're really looking at is understanding what the effect of the feedstock will have on the products. For example, if you're looking at deriving, say, extractives, you'd probably start with wood rather than a plant material, because you've got much higher extractive content in wood. So what's the best feedstock in terms of what you're trying to make? We also have a variety of projects that are looking at the co-products that make things work. And within our network, as I'll show in a minute, we've got both the technique economic and the social and the life cycle analysis components. So we cover all of these aspects in the West. So the idea is to come in with the biomass, look at pretreatment, which I'll cover, do some hydrolysis, fermentation. So we're looking at both the high volume, relatively low value, such as the fuels, as well as these niche products, the xylitol and the co-products. So that's the basis, and we have the seeds and utilization part. So I know you won't be able to read this again from the back, but the way we see it being organized is we've got the feedstock component, a pretreatment component, an enzymatic hydrolysis component, a microbial conversion, and seeds. So what's listed here, and as I run through the list of projects, I'm going to ask each of the PIs to just stand up and wave their hand, because I think one of the reasons for this meeting is for us to actually to get to know each other. And there's some people here that I don't know, so I think if they can get up and wave their hand, at least I'll know who they are as well. So on the feedstock side, we're really looking at 10 economic assessment and process modeling of superheated steam treatment. And Amit Kumar. Amit is doing this project from U of A. Hello, Amit. So, and if we look at feedstock densification logistics, this is my colleague Shahab Solkansanj from UBC. Shahab. So, again, Shahab, can you read that, or is this too far away to read that? You can read it? Maybe you can explain it to me. Next slide here is trees. This is my colleague who drinks lots of beer to try and come up with anagrams that actually make sense, much more than his science. That was an insult there, Sean. Sean is working on trees. So Dr. Mansfield, if you can stand up. And if you look at harvest, post-harvest densification, from Dr. Tabil. So again, what I was looking at, I'm going through this very quickly, but I thought, Don, the idea was just to cover the projects here and introduce people. Does this sound okay? So rather than reading these things out, these will all be distributed later on so people can see them. If you look at superheated steam pretreatment of biomass from Dr. Sengovsky. And again, it says steam pretreatment and conversion using cellulitic with subsequent assessment of substituting energy input for pretreatment with solar energy. This is my project, improved fractionation and pretreatment of biomass, and my colleague Richard Chandra. Richard is working on this project. Then we move into the microbial and enzymatic conversion project here by Dr. David Bressler. Dave? So Dave is working on engineering and contamination-resistant strains of Saccharomyces cerevisiae. Next project, Vince Martin. Vince? And Vince is looking at engineering Saccharomyces as a platform strain for inhibitor tolerance and C6 chemical production from cellulosic feedstocks. Boy, that's a sobriety test, that one. The other one on microbial enzymatic conversion on Dr. Mahadevan. In the back, so rationale metabolic engineering of yeast for fuels and co-products. And Dave Stewart. Dave? So Dave's working on metabolic engineering of yeast for production of advanced biofuels and chemicals. Hung Lee. Hung is looking at improving the fermentation of mixed sugars and lignocellular hydrolysates by native pentose fermenting yeasts. Gorty. No, that's not Gorty. That's optimizing yeast for pentose fermentation. Dr. Betts. Oh, sorry. Got that wrong. So over here from Ottawa U, right? And then have a look at Dr. Whiteway. Working optimizing yeast for pentose fermentation through systems biology. Then we move into the seeds one here. This is Gorty. Gorty Diaz at the back. Gorty's working in assessing priorities and utilizing pathways for the Canadian biorefining technologies. And then we have a team here of LaBelle, Paul Stewart, and Tad Smith. So is Dave Stewart here? Because I know Tad's not. So anybody from this team here? Nope. Oh, we'll just take their money then. And lastly, we've got Heather McLean and Dr. Saville. Is Heather here? Hey, Heather. Oh, Brad, okay. So Brad and Heather here are looking at assessing priority conversion technologies for Canadian biorefining pathways. So again, I'm sorry for this being the list. I just thought, Don, it's the best way for people to see who's involved in the West. Everyone will see this distribution. I guess my closing points here is that one of the things I think we've got to do with our network is how are we distinct? What are we doing in Canada? Because if you look south of the border, this is, I think as many of the people know, what we're doing is tiny compared to what's going on in the U.S. So what's our distinctiveness? What makes us complementary to this huge effort that's going down below? So what we got here is just a list of the projects. This is some of the R&D projects, the pilot projects, the demonstration ones in biorefining. If you start looking at the overall programs, it starts getting even more impressive rather than complicated. You look at what's going on in the U.S. with regard to places like NREL or the Great Lakes Center or JBE. A huge amount of effort going on in the U.S. So I think one of the challenges with our network is what are we doing that's value added to what's going on in the South? And I also think it's very important that we work with our neighbors to the South as well as in Europe and in Asia. I've just put up, we've got some of our colleagues here in the room. I guess this afternoon we'll be having presentations from some of our industry colleagues. So again, I know in the West we're going to have some presentations from our colleagues at Lignol. I think I don't have Alberta Innovates by Solutions up here for some reason. Maybe I couldn't find the logo. But again, I think it's very important that we tie in with some of the companies here. And in closing, most of the people in the West are actually in the East. So I couldn't figure out why they were in the West. But then I decided we all should become cowboys. And if we're all cowboys, we'll all be in Westerns. So this is my closing slide on the Western. That's right. We'll even take Mark in. OK, thanks for your attention.